You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Oh, hello there. We're doing a fun little ad here for Audible. That's the big time, guys. That's the big time ad people that you hear from every podcast you ever hear from. Audible. Go to audible.com/Detroit or text Detroit to 500-500 to start your 30-day free trial and get your first audiobook free from Audible. You get book credits each month and works on iPhones, Androids, Fire tablets, iPods. I got a book. Well, guess what book that I got?
Pray, what book did you get?
I got Bruce Campbell's new book, Hail to the Chin.
Ooh, does
Further Confessions of a B-Movie Actor. I know what you're about to say. Go ahead and say it.
Does he read it?
Yes.
That's why I
actually
got
really
it.
Need it. I have Audible, so I'm going to actually go get that. That sounds really good.
I want to hear Brucey Bruce's sweet, sweet tones as he reads his book to me.
That'd be so good.
That's what I've been doing. Oh, and Audible is a book I want. If it's by the author or by like someone creative, I just like, hey, I give a little listen to that, see if it's any good, and go ahead and get it. Use it on some car trippies.
Yeah.
Have a good time. You're going on a car trip soon.
Yeah.
You're going to get some audiobooks?
Yeah. Where do I have to go?
Whoa, beautiful.
Wow.
Wow. This should be an advertisement for Segway. That was so good.
Hey.
Audible.com/Detroit or just text Detroit to 500-500. Start that 30-day trial and get your first audiobook free.
Were there two or three bad guys in Home Alone? And who was that forgetful fish in Finding Nemo? Join us as we're watching films. See what we remember and what memories we kill. Let's start the show. Here we go.
My name is Bradley Jones.
I'm Andrew Moldenhauer.
And I'm Andy Huber.
And this is What We Remember, a podcast where we talk about movies, usually ones we haven't seen in a long time. But when we come to Podcast Detroit, we talk about the new movies.
Yeah. And what movie did we see?
I don't remember.
Which one is it? It's six?
Oh, Mission Impossible
Star Wars 6.
Six.
Mission Fallout. Impossible Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah.
Whoa. Now I want to play that.
Can I say right off the bat, this has been a Mission Impossible week for me.
Yeah. Oh. You've been going hard on some possible.
It's true. You like marathoned.
I watched four Mission Impossible movies.
You're probably Mission Impossible'd out,
yeah.
I assume.
I watched three through six.
You like, got in that
week.
Theater
That's
and you're like,
many.
Why am I here watching more of this?
I watched them out of order too. I watched 4, 5, 3, and 6.
That's probably like that's the order you're supposed to watch them in, maybe?
Yeah, actually, that's actually like a better order in terms of quality, at least.
Yeah. It got better over time.
Yes.
Well, that's what usually happens with things, you would hope.
Well, I mean, in that order.
Oh, well,
4, 5, 3, 6.
2 is definitely the worst.
Yeah, I watched some clips and it's
horrible.
Everyone
says how bad it is.
It's so, like, I get it. It's John Woo, but it is too John Woo. Way too John Woo.
It's slowed down.
Yeah.
Like, too John Woo, thanks for everything. Love, Julie Newmar. It's a movie joke.
Well, yeah, okay.
Brad.
So, Mission Impossible Fallout.
Yeah.
That just came out.
Yeah.
Yes. We watched it.
Yes.
All separately.
Yes.
We don't know what our opinions of this movie.
We haven't talked about it.
No.
This is a, you know, first listens for all of us.
It's a surprise for all of us. No one knows what I thought of it.
I know what you think of it.
No, you don't. I'm a blank
slate.
You
loved it.
You can't even tell. I thought it was incredible.
You haven't been.
Oh my God.
Your mouth has been smiling from ear to ear since we got in this room.
It was so good.
There were parts of it that were great. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy. Andy,
well, okay.
You can leave.
All right.
No, I'm kidding. You can stay for now. I'll let you.
So, no talking about spoilers. Let's just talk about Mission Impossible 6 without trying to be spoilerinos, I guess, right? For the little bit.
Is that possible?
Impossible.
Ooh, that might be a mission.
Probable.
Yeah, I think so.
So we got Ethan Hawke back.
Hunt.
No, if you listen to the podcast that we did about the first Mission Impossible,
does it establish
that I call him Ethan Hawke the whole time?
Okay, yeah. That's pretty good.
But the whole
I forgot we even talked about
back.
That one.
Of course.
Oh man,
Simon Pegg is still in it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
No, Luther is in it.
Yes. Yes. We didn't get Jeremy Renner.
No, Jeremy Renner. He was too busy with Avengers. Blum blum blum.
Why can't they get these schedules to like? makes sense in these films.
Well,
huh?
I mean, they almost didn't have Cavill. He had to go back and get his lip CGI'd.
He wasn't even in the last Avengers thing. What was it? There's no excuse.
Yeah, that's true. He wasn't even in that one. I assume that's because they were saving him for the next one. Ugh. You know, gotta
he's
really...
off doing other film.
Colon.
Some other movie.
Secret, unnamed
Secret
Project.
War.
Five.
Secret Project 5.
Yeah, I was actually kind of bummed because he was really good in the last couple ones.
Yeah.
I liked his character.
They also bring back the British spy from the fifth one.
Yes. I really like her character.
What's her name? Elena? Aluna?
What do you think? I know these movies?
Yeah,
come on,
maybe.
Get out of here.
She was in two of them.
Yeah.
She's great. She has arcs in both films.
Yeah, she's great. No, like, she's like just like a pure like woman Ethan Hunt the whole time.
Oh.
And it's great. It's like she's a really good foil to his character, I think, in the last one.
A little bit of a maybe love interest, too.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think it's slightly implied,
yeah,
but not really touched upon.
They did imply it in this one, and I'm glad they didn't take it too far, because that would have been silly. I think they did a good job of it in this one. Luther is great. Ving Rhames is always amazing. Mm-hmm. He has been in every single one of these.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that he's actually in all of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's Ethan Hunt's only friend. He is his only friend.
He's in all of them.
Yep.
Brother of Leanne Rhames, by the way. I made that joke in Mission Impossible, the first one.
This is...
Wow.
I'm trying to be funny. Brett,
wow.
Brett, was your research, instead of watching the other Mission Impossibles, you just listened
up with
to
names,
our Mission Impossible
yeah, that's actually did. That is what I did
That's
the other
pretty
day.
Good. I like that. Again, I forgot we even did one, or I would have probably listened to it as well.
Yeah. It was great. I made all these jokes. Yeah, go back and listen to it. You'll hear them again.
Hear them again.
I get the reference now.
Joke's so nice, you hear them twice.
It'll become a callback once you realize that it was a callback. That's good, right? That's how you want to do
things. If you haven't heard that one, they're fresh new jokes. It's great. It's a win-win, you know?
I think there's going to be a lot of spoilers in this episode.
Well, you got to hold off on it. This is your thing.
Yeah, okay.
So...
I will say that these movies always follow the same kind of guidelines.
Of course.
You got a mission.
They're like a
you
TV
might
want
to accept it, but if you do,
no,
the government's not going to back you up if things go wrong.
Yep. They should start a movie where they don't accept it.
They
one
actually,
time.
Yeah, they, this movie has a whole actually does a whole bunch of lampshading of like themselves. Basically, they bring up that point of the like you choose to accept it. Like they bring up.
Do lampooning and lampshading mean the same thing?
Well, lampooning is more making fun of. Lampshading is sort of like a more discreet reference.
Okay, because I went to IKEA and got a lampshade. Is that like the same thing?
That's the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So if you're a film person, you need to go to IKEA and get a lampshade.
They have quality lampshades.
Quality.
Are they
quality.
Sponsoring this episode?
No.
But yeah, I was going to say, they follow the same kind
right.
of guidelines.
They do.
You know that there's one person
that's
going to
be a
always.
Bad
that is going to flip.
Cult.
Yep. That was
it happens in every single one that I've watched this week.
And also every single one like makes you think that or everyone else thinks that Ethan Hunt was the person that flipped.
Yep. I know. I'm like, why do you keep assuming that? You've assumed that for the last four films.
He's never flipped, but they always have something on him.
No, even the first one that happens in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's every movie.
Every movie.
Mm-hmm. I was like, why can't someone just trust him? He's done five movies already where he saved the world from a nuclear bomb three
like,
times
yeah,
in a row.
Like at some point, you just sort of get like a free pass on that. Some new guy in the room is just like, but what if Ethan Hunt is a traitor though? And everyone just looks at him and like,
you've thought of this five other
pack
times.
Pack your office.
Get
out of here. You're fired. That's we don't do that here.
Yeah.
You got to have him running around. You got to have him doing.
Oh,
that.
Oh my God, Tom Cruise running,
mm-hmm.
dude.
Does that do it for you?
No,
is it like a majestic gazelle?
Dude,
no, it's like too long sometimes.
Too
like,
long.
You watch him running in
Never
Mission
enough.
Impossible 3. You watch him run in this.
Running.
You watch him run in the fifth
I love it.
One.
Run.
He runs a lot.
It's in his contract. I have to run for a full minute straight.
Yeah.
But he can run.
He can run so fast.
He's
the
best
runner. He picks up speed over time. He gets faster.
Eventually, he just starts approaching like speed of light. He's you don't even see him anymore. He's just a blur.
That's the one thing. What else we got in there? We got explosions.
Incredible
stunt
work. We got
helicopters.
We got villain scheme that doesn't make sense
mm-hmm.
totally.
I mean, that's Mission Impossible.
We got Ethan Hunt always one step ahead of the audience.
Yeah.
Even like his team, he's like one step ahead of a lot of the time.
On my extremely short list of negatives for the film was definitely that this movie felt the most predictable out of all of them. And that's kind of saying something because some of them are pretty predictable.
Yeah.
This one, I was like, you can call almost every step of this plot. So
maybe the seventh one will be a little less predictable.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
You will see.
They're going to make it.
You're going to see, like, it. Of course.
Two, three years.
These movies.
And I'll be there the week after the week of the release, because I don't go opening weekend for any movie.
The distance between the first through the third movie is so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, the next three, it's so incredibly short.
Yep. Yeah,
it's like every
two years
they've come out with a new one.
Mm-hmm. Because they realized that they had a good movie after the third one. They were like, oh, wait.
The third one's really good.
Yeah. So if you guys had to rank the Mission Impossible movies for your personal enjoyment, where would you be?
I'll go 1, 3, 5, 6, 4, 2.
I have no idea what you just said.
Man,
this was too hard.
He nailed it. I'm the one that posed the question. I was going to have the same problem where I'm like, which number is it?
I'd flip 4 and 3.
Which one is?
I think 4 is better than 3.
Oh, no, it's not.
I think so.
It's not. I saw both of them this week.
More.
Oh, man.
Philip Seymour Hoffman,
he's great.
He is amazing.
He doesn't climb that tower. The fourth one, he climbs that tower.
The tower scene is a spectacle.
Yeah.
it's amazing.
It's the best scene in the entire franchise.
Yeah. This movie, the newest one, had the most elaborate stunt set pieces out of all of the films.
Let's talk about those.
Yes.
What are those set pieces?
Well, for this one or for all the other ones?
Let's talk about this one.
You wrote notes for
podcast? I have a lot of notes.
What is this, our first month on the show?
We finally talked about a movie you cared about.
All right.
Done notes in forever.
Let's see. I'll try to do these in chronological order. So there's the halo drop, the parachute, where they jump out of the plane.
You're talking about this film.
Yeah, this film.
Yeah,
Fallout.
There is.
Oh yeah, he jumps out of the plane with.
Are these in order?
This is chronological order of within the movie's timeline.
Okay.
There's the halo drop.
There's got to be something before that. Does a car explode or something?
No.
They say that shootout in the
first one.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Just that bit, okay. And then there's the rooftop run through Paris.
I feel like you're missing a lot of them.
That segues into that. These are the huge set pieces, like stunt pieces.
Okay.
There's like the motorcycle chase through the city.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
There is the
and all of this is actually happening. It's not green screen at all. They actually went out and did this.
Well, they use only like so few digital effects.
One of my other few complaints for this was a scene that's in the trailer, which is when like Tom Cruise crashes into a car with a motorcycle, and like it was one of the few
that looks kinda bad.
Pieces of this film. And I think I don't know if it was just not well done, or if it was because of the fact that it was one of the only like all VFX kind of shots that looked weird. Yeah, it looked a little
strange. Because his roll is really quick, and then you can see it kind of. Fading into actual Tom Cruise as he like lands.
Helicopter rope climb.
Yeah. That was fun.
Which leads to helicopter chase, and then it concludes with free climbing on a cliff.
Oh my God.
Flashback to Mission Impossible 2 with that free climb.
Oh, exactly. God. I went a and bunch watched of these that clip last like that. Night, and that clip was so scary, watching him free climb in Mission Impossible 2.
Yep. They also have helmetless motorcycle chases in 2 and 3. I think, and then obviously he runs a lot in all of them. But
yeah,
he's got to run.
There's a helicopter in the first one.
Yes, there is.
They're bringing back a lot of elements, consistently using them in each movie.
Well, you can only pull from the well so many times.
I was thinking about that too. I was trying to think of any of these, like how many of these might be. I don't know if deliberate or just unintentional because they've done so many things already, but callbacks to the previous ones. Because there was like the free climbing at the end, like they land on that cliff, and I like leaned over my wife and I was like, oh, see, we know that he can climb up that cliff because he does that for fun as established in Mission Impossible.
Cue the Limp Bizkit song.
Yeah.
Bam, bam, bam.
Now he just needs a rocket to bring him a pair of Oakleys. So he can.
I'm about to break.
Oh my gosh.
Do the little thing to me.
I really hate Mission Impossible 2.
And I'm about to break.
So bad.
It's so slow.
Oh.
I bet it'd be funny now, but yeah, you know, Dandy Newton's in it. She's great.
Yeah,
but you know everything.
Maybe doesn't treat her very well
good.
Though.
No.
I feel like.
Well, it was the 2000s.
Although, like, okay,
yeah.
It was the late 90s.
If we're talking about villain plans, Mission Impossible 2's villain plan makes more sense than some of the later episodes.
Yeah, I think it's...
like his plan is to infect globally infect people with a virus in order to sell them the antidote.
Ooh.
Which makes sense. And then, like, you watch 4, 5, and 6, and it's all about, like, just one guy is like, I just want to blow up the world.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
A proper supervillain. Okay. Andy.
It's so cartoonish.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's a cartoon.
There's no means to an end.
I mean, this is also a world that has an agency called the Impossible Missions Force.
Yeah. You can't even say that correctly.
Because they can't go like MI, because then you're talking about like British intelligence.
Right.
So they had to flip the two words around.
Like, that name alone is cartoonish, so you got to find cartoony villains to do battle
with. I mean, that's kind of not their fault, because it goes back to the TV show in the 60s, which was campy as it is.
I've never seen it, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Spoilers?
Yeah,
spoilers.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about
it. Get into the movie.
Okay.
How does this movie begin? He's in a house?
He's in a house. I don't know why he's in a house.
In some city.
Yeah.
And a messenger comes, gives him a book.
Yeah.
With a projector inside of it.
Yep.
And it plays little thing about nuclear balls. three nuclear
plutoniums.
Three plutonium cores that were smuggled out of the, you know, I guess the
made
Russia
up country
probably
name.
Maybe, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it brings up the syndicate still sort of exists.
They kind
the
of formed
film.
Into a new
but
thing.
They have a new name, yep.
Yeah.
They rebranded.
It's kind of like the, what's the new Star Wars?
Oh,
Empire?
The First Order, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what it is.
The Resistance, not the Rebels.
Right.
Yeah, they rebranded, so he's got to go get these cores back before they turn them into bombs and blow something up.
Mm-hmm.
So he pretends to be...
No, he just goes to buy one.
Oh, he goes to buy
it. Yeah, it's sort of like almost hard cuts with him just being like, all right, we're doing it. We're buying one of the cores.
You know, Simon Pegg already there. I was going to say Simon Penn, but that's a writer or something.
Yeah.
Ving Rhames is in his truck again.
Yep.
Classic trucky Ving Rhames.
I kind of don't know why this plan falls apart. It falls apart.
Because they get the jump on Vingy.
Yeah, well, they do, but I was kind of like, why?
Because the apostles knew what they were going to do. And
they knew it was a setup?
Yeah, well, no. Because they weren't buying it from the apostles. They were trying to buy it so that the apostles couldn't get it, but the apostles crashed the buy.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
So there's three groups at play
here. Maybe not, though, because they're still
trying
to get
them back. I thought it was just one of the other henchmen's guys.
Maybe.
No, it's the apostles.
Okay, that's kind of what I said.
There's a third group.
Yeah.
Because there's a weird there's a weird scene coming up pretty soon in a hospital.
Yeah.
With Wolf Blitzer.
Yes.
And I was confused by the whole setup. I was like, why is this happening?
That happens in the first film. It's another lampshade.
About halfway through that scene,
I figured that out.
Where, yeah, like, they're, yeah, you're hearing, like, Ethan is devastated because their failure on that mission.
Yeah, well let's say they fail the mission.
Because
Ethan's big thing in this movie is he puts his team ahead of the mission.
He chose his team. Mm-hmm. The whole point of the job is to keep things safe, and he didn't.
No, he's that's his thing in this. He's like Batman in this movie.
Yep.
He refuses to kill people, even.
That's going to come up in his 6-month performance review.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be sitting in front of Alec Baldwin and be like, remember that time when you didn't do your job very well?
Late spoiler, but that won't happen because he's dead.
That was on my list of cons for this movie. I was so sad. I was like, no.
Well, but if you look at all the movies, there's been a different secretary IMF. You had like
he's
Lawrence
the first
Fishburne
secretary
is
to come
in
back
there,
twice.
John Voight.
Mm-hmm.
Viola Davis kind of plays the secondary in this one.
Angela Bassett.
That's okay.
Yeah, definitely not Viola Davis.
Oh boy, that is that out.
God, Brad.
Yeah, so there's like a new. There's like a new head in each one. I don't know who the fourth guy was, but he gets shot in the car.
Yeah.
In the fourth movie.
I can't remember his name. He's like a big time actor.
Yeah.
They all are. Like I forgot Lawrence Fishburne was the director for one of them. I was like, holy cow, what?
Yeah, he was in the third.
Mm-hmm.
He was just in Ant-Man 2.
Yeah.
Doing the same kind of thing.
Alec Baldwin was the only one that's been in two movies.
Yep.
Can Ving Rhames walk? Is he okay?
He can't run.
They keep putting him like in a car or standing or crouching in this film.
Also, the characters run into the scene. He's always like off screen, just making two strides
is
in.
Is Ving Rhames okay?
I mean he's got to be like
he seems
older.
Like a super dense guy. Like,
he's not looking great in this film.
Oh, but he's older.
He is.
Yeah, that's true. They're all pretty older.
Feel bad.
Don't age him.
Yeah.
Even his voice is like different. It's starting to turn into like that old man voice.
He's still
like
this part
missing.
Is great for him. It's good for his career too.
And
good
for us. Good for Ving Rhames.
Yeah, he's great.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the buy goes bad. And
let's go to this hospital situation.
They introduced this villain guy in that scene though that I thought was really like interesting, and then they killed him immediately. Like the guy who's like, I always, every time I meet someone, there's a voice in my head that tells me something about them.
Oh.
You know what it says for you? Nothing. And I was like, this guy's kind of interesting. And then he immediately gets shot, like right in the face.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
The bones tell me nothing.
So yeah, then we're at the hospital.
We jump to that sequence fast.
Yes.
And it feels
it's intentional.
Like it's jarring. Like
yeah,
I'm like,
it's supposed to be.
Wait.
We don't know that guy was in a car accident.
No.
The guy who wakes up in the bed.
Yep.
We've given some backstory.
Yeah, it's all backstory that's spoken. You mm-hmm. don't get to see it.
Well, he was in the briefing video.
Sure.
He was,
but,
yeah. I mean,
that's
I know
the
who
only
he
other
is.
Introduction. So, yeah.
But I was so confused because I was like, oh, we're jumping to this guy being like or in handcuffs
yes.
in a hospital bed. I was confused
Andy
by that
And he gets
jump.
Very confused when
I
things happen in a movie.
I get and I don't like being confused.
If there's not an immediate answer to a confusing thing, if the answer comes like 3 minutes later,
so you,
not
you guys,
good enough.
You guys didn't think that that cut enough. Was jarring?
Not when after it's, they explained it.
Going from like the buy going bad to hit that guy being arrested
not
already?
Not after they explained it, I didn't.
I thought it was...
Because
like,
it was intentionally jarring.
Yeah, it's an abrupt
cut. It was supposed
cut.
To be him out for the 2 weeks, which was only out for an hour.
Yeah. And you're supposed to feel like you're supposed to see the news report as
oh,
the audience
maybe,
and be
I
like,
must have
wow,
missed
like
that part.
They
I didn't
really did
it
fail.
Been an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
the Wolf Blitzer thing felt kind of weird, though.
Yeah, just get a cameo. Wolf
yeah.
Blitzer getting there.
Yep.
Doing his thing, getting a paycheck.
Yep.
Yeah, so basically this guy wakes up and he's watching a news report on CNN.
It said the bombs have already
gone
off.
Three nuclear bombs have gone off in like Paris and like London.
It's like
and...
the three like religious
oh, yeah, it was like
headless
it was
cities, so,
in Israel and Saudi Arabia
yep.
and...
Italy is the Vatican.
The Vatican.
Vatican,
yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this guy's like super happy.
He's like, heck yeah, we pulled it off.
Yeah.
Cause he had, what was the thing that he wanted read? What's that called?
His manifesto.
His manifesto.
He wanted it read on air. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, if you, we'll read it on air if you tell us how to unlock your
phone. That was a tell. That was a tell because Tom Cruise was like, all right, we'll let him read it on air. And Wolf Blitzer had it within a second later and he started reading it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that should have told you something.
Yeah, so they do that, and then the big reveal.
The walls come down.
The walls just come straight down. They're like in a warehouse. It's a set.
It was a setup.
Yep. And then...
he just needed some code on a phone. He just needed this guy to type in some code.
And then...
And the deal was,
yeah.
You read the manifesto, he'll type in the code.
And we get one of two mask rips at this scene, where Wolf Blitzer comes out, rips the mask off.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Simon Pegg.
It's Simon Pegg, yeah.
Right.
And the guy's like, oops, I gave all my information away, oh no.
And then that guy's out of the movie.
Yep, mm-hmm. He's gone.
We don't need him anymore.
he's arrested or in jail somewhere.
He's over.
Yeah.
So here, and then we had jump cut to Baldwin with Cruz, and they're like, all right, let's head to the next step of the mission.
But we're going to go with this other guy.
Yeah, that's when Angela Bassett walks
up
with
comes out
her
with
guy,
Cavill.
Who is enormous. I don't know if it's...
Oh, my God.
I don't know if it's just because of how small Tom Cruise is, but that dude looks gigantic the whole movie.
I didn't see that at
his
all.
His arms are massive,
he's a large man.
I mean,
it didn't look too out of place.
No, I thought he looked huge.
It wasn't like it was jarring. He's not like a Schwarzenegger level huge. Well,
I guess.
No, well, come on.
What?
You went for like the guy that won like...
He's not like a Dr. Doolittle kind of huge. Like,
that's what I'm saying. He's not like Andre the
Giant.
Wait,
did you mean Nutty Professor?
Yeah.
Dr. Doolittle?
Dr. Doolittle the animal guy.
Oh, you're right. Isn't he? Oh, yeah, you're right. He's not Dr. Doolittle huge either.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
The first one or the second one.
No.
Eddie Murphy got both those, huh? You got the Nutty Professor role and the Dr. Little role.
Yeah.
Just keep remaking them with him. What's up next? Is he going to be in something?
Well, nothing anymore.
You know. Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
So they instantly set up this antagonism between Ethan and Henry punches in the face.
Well, he's got a fake name.
Yeah.
And he's got what's his, what's the main villain guy?
John Lark.
That there's like Lark?
Yeah, Lark.
That's it.
Yeah, they don't know who John Lark is.
Right.
And so Tom Cruise is pretending to be John Lark later on when he's making deals with certain
people. And this is the mission to be to find John Lark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they go
basically, his mission is literally to find out who John Lark is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. While this like plutonium deal is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's supposed to make the deal for more balls? Two more plutonium balls?
Well, essentially.
John Lark is.
Oh. John Lark was supposed to be like facilitating the transfer of the plutonium, I think, to the apostles. That's kind of why I was confused about who busted up that buy earlier, because I thought the apostles are still trying to get those plutoniums.
No, well, they did get one. There's two more to get.
I think in that first deal, they just found the van sitting close by, and someone just maybe saw Ving Rhames inside.
Isn't there one that's just like unaccounted for throughout the film? Because there's only two at the very end.
No, because they give one to Tom Cruise. The broker does as the down payment. So they recover one immediately.
Oh, got it.
That's why at the very end, they only have the two bombs to defuse.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So this is where we get huge stunt number one, which is the halo drop.
Mm-hmm.
Which...
I was on Tom Cruise's side, though, about jumping out of that plane in a thunderstorm.
Oh, yeah. He looks down and he's like, nope, cancel this. Nope, that's...
yeah.
Which is kind of funny because it sort of juxtaposes his character in, like, the last one or two where his character's been getting, like, progressively more insane with what he's willing to do, I feel like. And this one, he's like, nah, not that one. This is my limit.
He's more reasonable in this film. He's maturing.
Yeah.
And then Henry Cavill is the young whippersnapper, upstart, who wants to just go for it no matter what. He's what... Ethan Hunt used to be.
I like how he's like, Ethan Hunt's Shadow giving him the rundown on how to do this extremely complicated and dangerous like parachute drop. Like, send someone else that knows how to do this. This is too dangerous for a newbie.
Everyone's trained in this to do this.
He gets struck by lightning halfway through.
Yeah.
And then his oxygen mask that they're wearing.
Yeah.
The tube comes undone.
Yeah.
And Tom Cruise has to basically like grab this guy.
Mm-hmm. The shot of them jumping out of the plane blew me away in the theater because it's all one long shot when they jump out of that plane. And I did not expect that. Like, I expected the classic, like, you know, they jump off the ramp and we see them jump out and then it cuts to them free falling.
Nope,
and no, like the camera just follows him, like it not even follows him, it precedes him out the door, and he just jumps after it.
Yeah, I guess I didn't even think about
it. It was
that,
one long
the cameraman
take.
Like gets in front of
oh,
him.
Oh my gosh, it was so cool. I was watching that whole scene. I was like, wow, that was all real.
The jumping was real.
Tom Cruise is this
him,
guy.
This whole movie has
really. You watch him.
Oh yeah,
you watch the behind the scenes of him getting on that plane in the fifth one and actually shooting that scene.
Oh man.
That is literally insane.
So they talk about, I was watching some behind the scenes for this one. They were talking about this stunt. They had to do like 120 jumps. They had to do like a whole bunch just to prepare.
That's a lot of jumps.
Like all, like the crew and Tom Cruise to do it. Cause it was a really dangerous 20,000 foot drop.
Yeah.
And they had to like, they specially designed those masks. Like they're actually real masks that they built for the film and that work the way they want. Like they're like, normally you do it with goggles and a mask, but you know, you want to see Tom Cruise's face. So we spent a ton of money custom designing masks
like a scuba,
to do this.
Scuba kind of gear.
And like they were like flying up in this plane. They because they had to shoot it at dusk, they could only do one take a day of the drop. So like, I think they ended up doing six of them.
Wow.
It's insane, like the amount of work that went into this.
Man.
And money.
Mm-hmm. Well, I excluding this movie, I looked into the expenses versus like the profit. And for every $1 they spent on the first five movies, they made back $5.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It's insane.
It's a good investment then. So you'd recommend investing in Mission Impossible stocks, Andy?
Yeah, if you have the money.
Oh, here's
Tom Cruise
spare
is already. I mean, his
out.
Name is on the production. Yeah. He's just investing himself in these movies since the third one.
Man, it was
maybe
that was
before that probably.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was a cool set piece of just jumping out of that plane.
Yeah, not my favorite set piece.
No,
there's
not
some
my favorite.
Later ones that I really like.
Yeah,
they land on a kick butt nightclub.
Yes,
parties are happening.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah,
it's where are they in Europe somewhere? Somewhere in Europe.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I couldn't remember if that
it's
was
like
Paris or not because they go to Paris later. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, it is. In like this old, like classic building.
There's the dubstep
drop London,
that
right?
happens.
I don't know because they're in London later.
Yeah.
They're somewhere in Eastern Europe, I bet.
Okay.
Maybe they are in London. Oh, shit. Guys, did we watch this movie?
So they get to the rave and immediately they're trying to find John Lark.
Uh huh. Arquette. John Lark.
John Lark.
John Larenquette. Yeah.
But how they don't? How do they know?
They have a sensor of some kind.
Oh, right.
Yeah, the party, this rave requires them to wear these wristbands with sensors, and they have the frequency for his, so they can track him. So they follow follow the signal into a bathroom, and there's like four dudes in there, and they're trying to figure out which one's the guy. So they kind of wander around, and they figure it out that it's this one dude. And then we have
stuff goes down.
One of the best fight scenes since John Wick.
It's so good. It's fun.
It reminded me of True Lies. There's the same similar fight scene in the bathroom.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen True Lies, so I don't know.
Wow.
It's
yeah.
been a while.
That's been a while. And that's the truth.
Ooh. It's not a true lie. Or it is a true
it's
lie.
It's a false truth. Oh, no.
False truth. Oh, no. It's a big old bathroom fight scene.
Oh, my
walls
gosh.
Are breaking.
People getting thrown through mirrors.
You get thrown through a wall.
Yeah.
People are ripping pipes off of.
Yeah, how
oh
easy is
gosh.
It to rip a pipe off of a
easy
sink?
Peasy.
When you got mad kung squeezy. Fu skills, you can do anything.
Yeah. I did like that guy was fending off both of them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He was kicking both their butts, and they're both like, it was at the beginning, you get, like Ethan Hunt's reaction is sort of like, wait, what? Like, this is not how that's supposed to happen.
Right.
Like,
and there's even a difference in the fighting styles where Ethan Hunt is like being a little more cautious and Henry Cavill's
like straight up
out.
Like a boxer.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
just trying to wail on this dude with his arms that he reloads like guns at the beginning of the
yeah.
fight.
Which I could talk about
it's kind of a fun looking thing
oh
that
my
he does.
Gosh. It's
silly, but I liked it.
Yeah. I think someone asked the director too, like if that was like planned out. He's like, no, that was just Henry Cavill. That's what he did. I was like, I loved it.
I mean, in a way, he's just like
he's warming
up.
Yeah, he's warming up. Mm-hmm. It was really good.
Trying
like,
to get that adrenaline
oh, man.
Pumping.
And then the dude they're fighting gets shot in the face.
By
the
Lady
British,
Ethan Hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lady Ethan Hunt.
Elena? Is that her name? Elena?
They say her name so many times too.
I don't know.
They keep being like, who is that? Was that her? Who is that? Was that her again?
But she is she's out of hiding.
Yep.
We left
her,
and we
her
left
job, she says
she
to her job
was
to protect that guy.
Mm-hmm. She, yeah, but she
but
won't
she
tell
ends
him
up shooting him.
Yeah, she doesn't tell him then though. She keeps being like, I can't tell you why I'm here.
Yeah.
And
she's all secretive.
Leaves again. So then Tom Cruise pulls like they do in one of the other Mission Impossibles where they're like, oh, in 4, where he's
yeah.
like, well, we'll just have to hope they never met, and just poses as the guy.
Mm-hmm. And it works.
And it
both
works.
Times.
And Cavill once again is just like, that's not a plan. That's what are you doing?
It's like it worked in the 4th one.
It's true.
Yep.
And so they go to a secret private room right after that.
Yes.
Where they meet with a broker.
Yes, the White Widow.
Her job is literally just
well, it's like
to
a, it's like a lounge singer yeah. area.
Yeah.
And she's like...
And she's not a lounge singer.
Like,
she's like giving a eulogy. Yeah. She's like giving a eulogy to her mom, which I guess is also sort of a reference to number 1, where like...
You all about that lampshading today.
I heard it like she's talking about her mom who died, who was like an arms dealer and something. And in number 1, someone dies off screen who was like a woman that was an arms dealer. So they're like, oh, it might be connected. I don't know. I don't know that much Mission
and
Impossible
everyone
lore.
In that room's like, yay, your mom was an arms dealer.
Yeah, they're all like, oh, we feel so bad
havoc.
For you. Like, we're all like, look, we're one big criminal family in here, okay?
Yeah.
And this scene reminds me of Black Panther.
Yeah.
Very similar scene.
I can see that.
Where they're just like fighting in a lounge room.
This one was a little confusing, though, because I feel like Ethan Hunt is not being discreet. Neither of them are.
No.
They're having this conversation. Like, if I was in that lounge, I'd be like, what is going on over there? They take out like 2 guys very openly, and still it takes like a person shooting a gun for everyone to realize
right.
that
yeah.
something's going on.
There's people around that are like,
they're the most
oh my
oblivious
God.
People. But I guess if they are all criminals, they're like, yeah, you know, fights happening here all the time. This is what that's what we do.
So Ethan Hunt has to escape with that girl.
Yep.
She kind of looks like Lady Gaga. I don't know her real actress name.
I thought she looked like who is she from Game of Thrones and from oh my gosh, I can't believe it.
Emilia Clarke?
No. Marjorie
Oh,
Tyrell.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, she's in stuff.
Yep.
Her name.
Yeah. Oh no.
I can't believe I don't remember. But yeah. I thought she looked kind of like her.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
Blonde
version.
Yeah. So, but yeah, they get out of there and they go back to their big ass house.
Giant, yeah. Giant castle.
And mm-hmm. they go inside and there's like a whole bunch of dudes just like prepping like guns and armor and stuff.
She's an arms dealer.
And
all the arms are in that house.
Yeah. A lot of human arms just mm-hmm. on the walls.
And her brother is like the heavy for her.
Yes.
Yep.
He keeps on like butting in and butting heads with Ethan.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about.
They have a plan.
They have the setup right here.
So who's yes. the villain in the 5th one? Because this is where he comes
Lane.
Back.
I know his
yeah.
name.
Lane?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
With the creepy voice.
He's just an evil. He was the head of the syndicate.
Yeah, he was movie. He was the guy who put the syndicate together. He's like this
yeah,
super
former,
genius that was
former
British
spy.
Intelligence who formed the syndicate and
got
went rogue,
brought in by
like,
Ethan and
yep.
the girl.
And like
Ethan.
He yeah and he was like in 5 was like kind of this neat villain where he was always like one step ahead of everybody
yes.
which is kind of like unusual a little unusual
until he
series.
Got enclosed in a glass box and I was like that's dumb
yeah because that's like that right trap. Before that is when Ethan's like I'm gonna get one step ahead finally
That was a bad
plan. And Ethan Hunt proceeds to memorize like 100 bank account numbers.
Mm-hmm. That was good. Right. That was fun.
Yeah.
Because he can do whatever he wants.
He's just like...
In the fifth one, he recited that bank account number. The guy like immediately transferred the money. He's like, oh, I want that.
Yeah.
$30 million.
Got it. Yeah, so like the job, in order to get the plutonium, the price isn't money. It's you have to break him out, essentially, of custody.
Well, right, and this is a bad plan on the government's part, because they're just like touring him around from country to country to have him like explain his crimes to certain countries' governments. Why not just do it secretly?
Tape recorders exist, guys.
Thought it was
have them come to him.
Why didn't they fly him where they
has this thing?
Why didn't they fly him where they were going? Why'd they fly him elsewhere and then drive him there? You're in a helicopter.
There's
a lot of other ways.
So,
what you're even talking about.
Okay, so the plan is that they're going to intervene this motorcade. They're going to push it off one road into another truck.
The motorcade has Lane in it, who is the guy that they're trying to capture.
Yes, he's in a truck.
Yeah. So they're going to cause an accident to push the motorcade onto a random road where they're going to intervene.
And then kill all the
police officers and security and then get this guy.
Yes.
So the cool thing that's kind of interesting is that they shoot this. They show you what it's going to look like,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, oh my God, it's already happening, but it's a flash forward.
Yeah. It ends with Ethan
Ethan's like figuring out what's going to happen. He's like, I don't want to be a part of killing all these police officers.
Yeah.
Because you almost get to see him kill a police officer.
Yeah, straight up like execute to do it. Yeah.
But it's all in his imagination.
Mm-hmm.
This is what could have happened.
So this is where, obviously, Ethan doesn't say this, but he comes up with a different plan.
Yes.
He's gonna alter it.
Yep. Meanwhile, Henry Cavill delivers a phone to the CIA lady.
Yes. And I picked up on this immediately.
Yeah, he says,
you're supposed to.
This has all the evidence you need to show that Ethan Hunt is actually like the head of the apostles they were trying to find
in the
first place. Yeah, it's John Lark.
He's posing as John Lark, but he is John Lark.
And yeah, that's where they give you that insert of that phone.
I was gonna say that they kind of show you that like halfway through the movie, you don't get the reveal until much, much later. So,
right.
like, we already know for
the
quite a while.
Is well aware.
Yes,
for quite some
time.
And
maybe even they are for all we know.
I mean, it seems like Alec Baldwin is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so we're like, oh, that jerk bag. It's betraying him.
Yeah. And so originally the phone has a cracked screen on it, and then he gives a non-cracked phone to Angela Bassett. It's like, here's all the information that you need. It's on this phone.
Yep.
But it's all information to set Ethan Hunt up.
Yes.
He's John Larroquette.
Mm-hmm. John Larroquette. So Ethan changes the plan to where instead of like blocking in this motorcade and just gunning him down,
he just blasts Lane's
truck
off into the
off the water.
Off into the water.
Which there's a really cool shot of the inside of the truck when it's filling with water.
Oh my
where
God.
It's mounted to the side and like the truck tips on its side. So the view of the camera is like that he's sitting right set up, but since the truck's sideways, it's like this vertical wall of water coming at.
Let me ask you guys. Sitting there. It's a habit of mine, but when you see a character about to go underwater,
breath?
Do you hold your breath too?
Yeah, every time.
Yeah, I did too.
Don't do that on the last Mission Impossible where he holds his breath for like 6 minutes.
Oh yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah. I never do that. No.
Oh, that was
Brad,
a bad setup.
Not fun.
I was like, why are they doing
it's
this?
A weird one.
Don't do it.
But then Simon Pegg is under there, the scuba gear, gets him out of there.
Yes.
That's true. Yeah.
And you realize, this is the plan.
we're like shifting between Mission Impossible movies.
You might as well. but then there's really fun scene where like Ethan just backs the truck up and like drives away and like dumps all the dudes out the back.
Oh, yeah. That was
yeah.
They just like fall on the
they
ground.
They don't know what's going on.
And these cops just show up like, get out of the ground. So then we start like the Paris chase.
Right.
Which was too long.
Ethan Hunt is
might have been a little
on a
long.
Motorcycle.
Yes.
Chasing everything.
She's been
wants to kill Lane.
Yeah. She's been this mysterious black figure following the motorcade on a motorcycle.
Right.
And you suspect it's her.
And she's like,
I mean,
is she following Ethan or is Ethan following her?
She's following Ethan to kill Lane.
Yes. She's there to kill Lane.
That's her only mission in the whole thing is to kill Lane.
They do this really funny, getaway trick, where they just jam the truck in an alley that's too small. And go out the front. And then we get what I enjoy is like kind of a nice nod to Mission Impossible 4. Stuff doesn't always go the way like it's supposed to. Like Ethan's motorcycle just won't start.
Nope.
Like things break.
Henry Cavill's does. It gets away. But his just won't go.
Yeah,
it could have been a setup.
He should have tested that cycle first.
Yeah.
Well, but Henry might have set that up.
I don't believe so.
No, he didn't seem like he was aware of this plan at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true because he...
Because he was confused when he ran it. He's like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah.
Like, oh,
he was ready to go through with the plan.
Yeah,
right.
That wouldn't really make sense.
So because of that, Ethan's slow to get away, and the police are hot on his heels.
Which I was like, he would have got shot. He's just he's going straight. They're shooting straight. Yep. It's in an alley.
They do that in the other movies.
It happens
too,
all the time.
Running.
I'm like, he didn't get shot once.
No.
Yep. So here's the other another good stunt piece is him driving with no helmet through like these crazy busy streets, which apparently was real. Like they did that.
Sure.
You see cars like swerve. He's basically going on oncoming traffic the entire time.
Yeah.
That he's driving away from these people.
Yep. Eventually, like he keeps trying to get away. Police keep showing up. Keeps trying to get away. Police keep showing up. Finally, he crashes into a car.
I thought by the end when he got to that median and there was like, he's in this like circle roundabout thing, and there's like five streets
the Arc
going
de Triomphe,
away
yeah.
from it, and you see police on
every
street. Yeah. I thought that was kind of cool.
It was really good. Yeah. It all looks amazing, and you get to see like really good set pieces in Paris. Like you get to see all sorts of like really fun establishing bits, like just in the set, like the environments themselves are
so
much fun.
He also does that super cool guy thing where he puts his foot down while he's turning hard.
Yeah,
so the motorcycle doesn't tip,
and so he just pivots. Yeah,
it's
and just
a
goes.
Pro cool guy move.
Yeah, you gotta
do
it.
Motorcycle.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, he hits a car and like gets up and he's like limping away because obviously that was pretty brutal.
Yep. And he falls into a grate where there's a boat with Ving Rhames, Simon Pegg, and Lane.
Yes, well, because originally you can't see it. It's just bushes, and he like hops over this hedges, and the police are surrounded.
He's always one step ahead of the audience. And
it's always just it's movie.
Yeah,
he's like change of plan, and they're like, "All right, we know exactly where we're going to be, so we
got
can
it.
Drop. We can get
got
you."
So yeah, then they
they're trying to get Lane out of there. They get in the car. But there's this
another good things don't always go as planned.
There's
thing.
A police woman outside.
Like, they open the garage while they're like pushing this hooded dude in a car, and they're like,
"Can you explain yourself, sir?
Yeah,
like, you need to just walk away, lady."
Some of the mercenaries from the beginning show
shoot
up.
Shoot that poor lady. Colin.
Yeah, she gets shot right in the leg, and then they're going to just finish her off. And
movie happens again where.
Like Tom
two
Cruise,
characters are have their guns pointed at Tom Cruise. He managed to shoot all four of them.
Tom Cruise wanted
before
to
before they get a shot off.
He clearly wanted to redo the scene from Collateral where he does basically the same move. He quick draws and takes out like all four guys real fast.
Yeah.
Which apparently Tom Cruise can. He's one of the fastest draws for that because of all the practice he did for Collateral.
Dude has plenty of money. You could just hire people to train them to
so
do
they got
these
this
things.
Little car. They're
yeah,
trying
little
to go
tiny
the
BMW.
Streets. They meet up with Lady Ethan Hunt in the streets.
Yes.
She's got a sniper rifle.
Yeah, and she shoots Lane through the windshield.
Yeah, gets him in the neck, I
think. They do another good, like, well-orchestrated, like, Tom Cruise is like, everyone out! Everyone just gets out of the car, and he takes off. So, like, he's the only one doing the chase.
Yeah, and there's a tense scene where he has to make a decision, and he chooses to just run her over.
Oh, runs her straight over. And like, she was surprised, too.
Killed.
She's like, oh, okay, that's how it is?
Yeah, well... Push comes to shove, you gotta hit somebody with your car.
But she was okay with it in the long run.
They all understand.
Yeah.
It's all the mission.
It's a job.
Yep. So this is the foot chase part, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's way later.
Is it? Okay.
This is where they get him to the interrogation room.
You're right.
Alec Baldwin, they get the whole plan out.
Yep.
We think that Ethan Hunt is the bad guy.
Baldwin's there like, how could you, Ethan, this is pretty compelling. You're clearly a traitor, like every other time.
Mm-hmm.
And then like he comes up with this crazy plan anyway, and they're like, all right, fine, we'll do this trade off to get the uranium.
Right, they're gonna go drop Lane off, and they're gonna go get the plutonium,
and they're gonna dress. Well, they're not gonna hand him off though. They're gonna dress Simon Pegg up as Lane and hand off Simon Pegg instead.
So they do a little, they do a 1-2 switcheroo.
Yes.
Buckle my shoe, because Henry Cavill thinks Lane is still in the interrogation room.
Yep.
Everyone's gone but him and Lane.
Yep.
So he goes and tells him his whole plan.
Yeah.
Which was a great scene.
It was.
He is John Lark and Ethan Hunt's going down and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then
and he has some funny faces. The villain.
Yes.
As Simon Pegg, like waiting for him to like answer certain questions.
Find the right things to say. Yeah.
Right. One of my favorite bits
Could
with
you
these masks.
Do the flower, please.
Oh, man.
Right. It was one of those.
I do love with the masks. Every time that like an actor gets to play Tom Cruise playing somebody, or anytime they kind of do that. Like, I really like Philip Seymour Hoffman playing Tom Cruise playing Philip Seymour Hoffman.
That scene actually works out really well, especially because they show you the transition of him putting on the mask, and then, like, it looks really fake at first, and they're, like, panning across, and you can kind of see, like, digital effects turn him into Philip Seymour Hoffman.
It looked really good.
So he gets him to confess, and Angela Bassett's on the other line. Everyone comes back. It was all a big scheme just to get him to admit that he was John Lark.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they're like, all right, we'll bring him in. And Angela Bassett's like, don't worry about it. I'm taking care of it. A whole CIA team shows up.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're like, ugh, can't come on.
And this is, again, it's like, you don't trust this guy?
No, they don't.
He's been like the just most trustworthy person.
They're going to bring everyone in. Nope. She can't trust anybody but herself.
Then surprise.
But then the apostles show up?
Double cross.
Yeah.
Some of the CIA guys are actually working for, Lark.
John Lark.
And take out the other CIA guys and take out, like,
Alec Baldwin. Or Alec Baldwin gets stabbed by Henry Cavill.
By Cavill, which made me sad.
He dies. He gets goosed.
It was so sad. He got goosed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we got, and they just end up leaving. Henry Cavill just, like, walks away.
He gets out of there, Eventually, they finish off the rest of those dudes and get out, too. And here's where you get the sprint across the entire city of Paris.
Yeah, because they put a little tracker on Henry Cavill, but they're already way behind.
Yep.
I liked Simon Pegg's side of these. It was funny.
There's three little bits that happened.
Yeah.
But Tom Cruise is literally running after Henry Cavill.
Yep.
Goes through these streets. Simon Pegg is trying to guide him.
Yep.
He ends up going over some rooftops, ends up going into an office building.
Yep.
Simon Pegg doesn't realize that he's looking at a 2D screen that could be 3D.
Yeah.
And that actually Ethan Hunt's like way above where he's supposed to
be. Yeah, he's like five stories
up. He's
got
to do a giant jump across a building.
Yep.
He scares a bunch of office workers, throws a chair through a window.
Yep.
Leaps, breaks his ankle.
Yeah. In real life.
For realsies.
Yep.
Keeps going, keeps chasing him.
I really like that too, because you can see him limping on that leg.
Well, he broke his ankle in the ledge jump.
Yes.
Yes.
Not in the office building.
You're right.
Right.
Yeah.
The same problem. I'm sorry to speed along.
That's okay.
And then he catches up to Henry Cav, or he gets away in a helicopter.
He catches up to him, just misses him. He does like a fun
thing. He
hangs on the bottom of the elevator the whole way up, which was pretty rad.
But then Henry Cavill shows him a photo of his wife from the third film.
Yes.
Which I was glad that they finally addressed this part. I was like,
It was so good.
The way they
addressed
it in the fourth one was horrible.
Oh, man.
They didn't explain anything.
No, but that's Mission Impossible. That's like every movie is like a standalone movie.
Like,
this is the first Mission Impossible that really is a sequel to another Mission Impossible.
Yeah. They like concluded that storyline, which was great.
Yes. He's just like, so if you keep trying to stop our plans,
I'm going
to
kill her.
I'm going to get got.
Yep.
She's going to get got.
And tell me if I'm wrong. But
you're wrong.
I might be wrong. Did they hire two Supermen for this movie?
You're wrong.
Is that guy did not play Superman in like 2006?
That's Brendan Roth. So. Are you thinking of the guy that they meet up her husband?
Yeah,
that's the guy from American Beauty. Bentley.
Oh, that is.
Oh, man.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought that was the guy.
Gotcha.
But he gets away.
Yep.
But they somehow know where the plutonium is going.
Yes.
They figure that out how.
The tracker in the neck.
They still have the tracker.
Oh,
on
yeah. He, because,
that's right.
They tell you later on that Luther, when he was removing the tracker,
they put their own tracker in
its place.
Right.
So they're tracking
to. So they're off to what? Mongolia?
Yeah, Nepal.
Nepal.
Yeah.
Some little village.
Yep.
That, both the bombs are at. Lane's at.
Yep.
John Lark is at.
Yep.
And HOA.
This wife, and a husband.
That was
everybody is there.
Just
hanging out in a village.
Mm-hmm.
Right. She works for this
because it was where
government
there was an attack there earlier in the film that was done by John Lark.
Yeah, like an anthrax attack or something.
Yeah, it was something. Yeah,
the apostles.
So they're trying to cure the village.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But it was done by the apostles in a way to also go in there later and to have this plutonium stuff go off.
I did not understand. They kept referencing like, but why a medical camp? Why a medical? And I'm like, why a medical camp? I don't get it. then oh, of course the wife is there. Like, that was the one genuine surprise I think I had in this movie.
I knew she was going to be in the film. But it was just a matter of time because I got spoiled on that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, they get there and they just start searching for this bomb and like, she's just like, oh, hey, what are you doing here in middle of Nepal?
It's a little bit awkward. The acting is a little off to me. It's because they don't have a lot of experience, like, anymore with each other talking.
But, like, oh my gosh. Like they, so then they're running around this camp.
Let's jump.
Let's get going.
Yeah. Let's jump to the helicopter.
Well, there's
part.
A little more to that. They find the bombs.
Yes.
Bing Rames has to disarm one with Ethan Hunt's wife.
Yeah, they do like some Star Trek babble about why they can't
Lady
disarm
Ethan
them.
Hunt and Simon Pegg are fighting Lane in like a cabin.
Yep.
So we got like three things kind of going on. And then we have Ethan Hunt chasing Henry Cavill with a helicopter.
Oh, my God.
He climbs up a rope.
Long
hijacks
tape.
Hijacks another helicopter.
Yeah, long tape climb up the rope. Falls down the rope. Climbs back up the rope again.
Yeah. Scary. Fly.
The shots of Cavill shooting a gun at Tom Cruise's helicopter are awesome.
Yeah.
Then, you know, Tom Cruise actually flying a helicopter, flies a helicopter.
Right. Smashes his helicopter into the other one.
Yep. They have, like, the super long fall down a mountain.
So there's a detonator that Henry Cavill has.
Yeah.
That's what he's after. If they don't have the detonator, then
they
bombs are
going
to go off
bombs.
Regardless.
Right.
Yeah.
So they fight on top of a mountain over
like,
this detonator.
Like
on a cliffside.
Yep.
Or like Good Son.
I was going to say, like just like the Good Son. They
like
both
the
go
good
over the cliff.
Son, yeah.
And
that movie will be out in our podcast.
And then Cavill finally gets a hook to the face.
Ooh, yeah, that's brutal.
Oh, man.
He's done.
And then
I like the sequence where the helicopter fell down that little
crevice.
Yeah, the rock crevice.
Yeah,
it's
and like they're inside.
Thing falling off a cliff and exploding. You don't see that a lot. You need that in
well,
an action
movie. They have interior shots of them rolling around the insides of these helicopters.
It's like
and it's so
every
good.
Every 70s action movie.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, so then Cruise manages to get the diffuser out right in time, and they save the world.
Yeah.
And
everything is hunky-dory.
Yeah.
Mission is saved again.
Mission
accomplished. Mission very possible, even though it should not have been. There was just way too much happening.
It was
oh, my
intense.
Gosh.
And the circumstances
it was incredible.
Just
it was incredible.
My audience loved it. People were like really excited.
Did
yeah.
you go with a bunch of people? Like you're
no, no. I
like,
mean, like the audience
of,
I was with
of Moldenhauer
oh,
fans.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was like no one in the theater when I went.
Oh, there was a lot of people when
mine
I went.
Mine was packed.
I saw like Sunday evening.
I saw
evening.
Dream of Day. Yeah,
I loved it. It was amazing.
It was good.
Oh man, so
it's
good.
Not, it's not as good as like three. And
I don't
one.
Think you should see this movie unless you've seen at least
four and five. Yeah,
that's why I watched those because I felt I needed
three is
those.
Helpful
just
as well. Just
one.
Because three does establish
you don't
a
really
bit more,
need
but
three.
You don't have to. Have
you don't
it,
need
yeah.
three.
But no, I definitely see it though. It's incredible.
Yeah.
So that's the so
everyone gets away. They get Lane.
Oh man,
Alec Baldwin's dead.
Yep.
Does he get another mission or anything at the end of this one? I don't really remember the very very ending. He's on a cliff
remember.
And they rescue him.
Yeah. I think they just bring it back. Oh, they do the chuckle. His wife is like, I'm married now. I'm happy. Bye. Peace mm-hmm. out.
Everyone just goes off on
and
their
then
own.
The lady Ethan Hunt is just like, what's up?
Oh, yeah, because she is exonerated.
Yeah.
Because she
go back and do whatever.
Yeah. So everything seems like it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we'll see, because there's definitely going to be a seventh.
Oh, yeah.
There's
going to be at least one more.
We are What We Remember. We have a podcast where we talk about movies we haven't seen in a long time. You can find that at whatremember.com. You can find that on any podcast app of choice if you search What Remember. Got some recent episodes on there. Our Goonies is going to come out by this time this comes out. We got Batman Forever, Land Before Time.
Classics.
We got some older ones. We got Three Men and a Baby, Dirty Dancing. Those are big ones. Poltergeist I just listened to. That was wonderful.
Oh,
so
man.
Good.
Twitter.com/WhatRemember. Facebook.com/WhatRemember is the best way to find us. If you want to support us monetarily, we have a Patreon. Patreon.com/WhatRemember.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks.